Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
I love this series that we're in here at NC4. And this morning, my title in this series is Hooper Honor. Now, you may be saying, what is Hooper Honor? Well, actually, Pastor Jack titled my message. And I'll tell you why, because Chris and I sent in the notes, and we didn't send a title because I didn't know what titles have been used in this series. So Pastor Jack told Denise, just name it Hooper Honor. And I was going to send something stupid and a title that wasn't very clever. So I said, no, pick that one. And I really like it because I love that. And you say, what is Hooper? Well, Hooper is the Greek word, really. It's kind of our life's message. If you want to follow me on social media, look up Hooper Duane on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. That's how you're going to follow me. Snapchat, whatever. Hooper Duane, HUPERDUANE, and that will help you find me, because Hooper is the Greek word where we get hyper or super. When you add that prefix to any word, it takes it beyond itself. And I wrote a book called Hooper Man. My wife wrote a book called Hooper Woman. We believe that God wants us to live a life that's beyond ourselves. I believe that God wants to take our natural and add His Hooper to it and make it better. So God wants to take honor and He wants to add His Hooper to it, and that's kingdom honor, because we don't understand honor in our world. We need Hooper, really, is God helping empower us to live beyond what we could do on our own. And when you talk about the subject or the topic of honor, listen, we need God's help, because there's a revolution in our nation, and it's not a good one. It's a revolution of dishonor. Come on, are you here? We right now, this revolution that's happening is not just happening at water coolers in private places, but it's happening publicly, and with social media, it's gone crazy. Anyway, I digress. My concern is not for society at large or even pop culture. I don't expect them to know better. But I do think we as a church, as a kingdom culture, those who are meant to be kingdom citizens and live by kingdom culture, ought to know better. We ought to have some Hooper honor. We should live countercultural. So let me give you a Hooper honor scripture. Are you ready for it? 1 Peter, you probably looked at a lot of these, but I'm going to throw my 2 cents worth in about them anyway. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's about as straightforward as you can get. Honor all people. Honor how many people? How many people? How many people? All people. And you know what that Greek word for all means? All. Honor all people. Love your brothers. Respect and have reverence for God. Oh, and by the way, honor the king. Now, before we can talk about what honor is, which I know you've been doing, let me just tell you what it's not. First of all, honor is not blame. It's not criticism. It's not degradation. It's not derision. It's not disgrace. It's not debasement. And it's not reproach. So if the words coming out of my mouth for my brother or sister are blame, criticism, degradation, derision, disgrace, debasement, and reproach, I'm not honoring them. You say, why are you smiling? Because my wife says when you say difficult things, smile. It's like giving sugar with spinach. It helps it go down a little bit. So when I start smiling, watch out. Hallelujah. So what is honor? Well, the word honor in Greek is timeo or timian, and it's to value, to hold in high esteem, to regard as precious, like gold or silver, something weighty or of great substance. In Hebrew, it's kabod, where we get the word glory. In Greek, it has to set value. But watch this. Now, here's what's important. The value set for honor is non-negotiable. There's a connotation for the word in Greek that is saying the value is set. You don't get to negotiate the price. Now, I'm an old horse trader. I negotiate everything. I don't believe that the price should ever be fixed. I had a friend in high school that he couldn't believe I walked into a clothing store, department store, I'm not talking about a market. I'm not talking about some street vendor. I'm talking about a box store retailer at the mall when I was in high school. And I ended up negotiating the price of shoes that I bought at the mall. And we walked out. He said, "Dude, you're crazy. Nobody negotiates the price." And I've always had this sense. I was always taught everything is negotiable. You should be able to negotiate the price of anything. Can I get a witness? And so, I mean, I think you should be able to negotiate the price of gas. If you don't like it, I don't want to pay $2.65. How about $1.50? When I go to buy a house, they'll be asking some crazy price. My wife says, "We can never afford that." I say, "I'm not paying that." "But they're asking that." I said, "Just because they're asking doesn't mean they're getting." And I'll buy it for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I bought a house that a lady was asking almost $600,000 for $305,000. So I think prices are negotiable. And so this makes me mad in my flesh that honor is not negotiable. The value we place on humanity, God gets to set the price, and I don't get to argue with him. See, God determines the value, the price set. If honor equals value, God determines the price. Just keep that. If you don't get anything else today, get that, because it's going to be a thread throughout my message. So there's some great texts in Romans about honor. We're going to look at several of them. Let's jump into the middle, then we'll back up in a minute. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Pay to all who is owed them taxes," which that's personal or income taxes, "to whom taxes are owed, revenue," that's a word for customs or duty, not on personal tax or income, but on goods, "to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed," or "to whom honor is due." I'm reading out of the English, the ESV. Here it says pay, or in the King James it would say render, give up what is yours. Pay the price. The value is set. You pay the price, the value that I ascribe to it. So he's saying, Paul's saying, you possess it. It's yours to give. Now let it go and give it up. If it's income taxes, pay income taxes. If it's property taxes, pay property taxes. Now, some of you are already mad at Paul. He's saying, don't cheat on your income taxes. Don't cheat on the duty you're owed. Then he goes on and he says, respect, give the respect that's owed, then honor. Now, here's the thing. When we're talking about income tax, I don't determine the rate of the tax. The government does. When it comes to duty, I don't determine the rate of the duty on goods I buy. The government does. We don't like paying sales tax in America, and I get upset about it till I go to England, and it goes from 8.25%, which is what it is in Texas, to 18%, and then 8.25% looks good. But I don't get to go there and say, I don't want to pay your VAT. Now they may give me an exemption, but that's up to them. The government ascribes it. Well, guess what? God ascribes the price or the value of respect and honor, not me. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, I know, Dwayne, but not everybody deserves it. Remember, he said, give honor to whom honor is due. Pay the price, the value I ascribe to honor to whom it's due. So who's it due? Well, he already told us in 1 Peter, honor what people? Which people? All people. So think about who he's talking about when he says pay tax that's owed. Think about that government. And then he's saying pay honor that's owed, and you do that to God, not to them. You say, what are you saying, Dwayne? Let me give you a principle. Honor is not earned, it's given. Honor is not a sign of agreement. You're not honoring them for who they are. You're honoring them. You're not honoring for them for what they've done. Excuse me, you're honoring them for who they are. You're not honoring them based on their performance. You're honoring them based on the value God ascribed to them. I think you've already looked at this in your series, but let me just throw this quote back out there. Honor is when you recognize who someone is without stumbling over who they are not. Bill Johnson. So it's honor is not agreement. Again, I'm not honoring their actions per se. I'm honoring the person, because honor, you've already been learning this, is rooted in love. So I can love you even if I don't agree with your actions. I can love you if I don't agree with your lifestyle. I can still love you. Now, if the president of the United States, it's not a political statement, but if the president of the United States were to walk in this room, if I could not honor him, I'm not being honorable. Now, some of you might say, depending on your political persuasion, yes, that's right. And all those people that don't honor him, bless God, they're wrong. If that's where you stand, rewind to last year. If I was preaching this message and I made that statement, there would have been somebody on one side going, yes, bless God, you need to honor the man. Fast forward to this year, I ain't giving that dude no honor. Are you kidding me? Rewind to last year. I'm not giving that person any honor. Come on, are you here? See, this isn't political. It's biblical. It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with my understanding of the value set on honor. So let me just say it this way. I don't honor people because they're honorable. I honor people because God tells me to be honorable. See, I don't honor you because you're honorable. I honor you because I'm called to be honorable. See, God doesn't love you just because you're lovable. Because you're not. I'm smiling a lot this morning, and then I'm going to get out of Dodge or Bethlehem, whatever the case. See, God loves you when you're not lovable, and he honors you even when you're not honorable. Why? Because he's honorable. So be like God. Love people who aren't lovable. Honor people who aren't honorable. In 1 Timothy 6:1, this isn't one of the slides. I just added this morning. But let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine might not be blasphemed. Wow. He's saying honor masters so that the doctrine of God and honor might not be blasphemed. That's heavy stuff. So in the kingdom, to be an honorable person is not to deserve honor, but to give it. I'm not honorable in the kingdom because I deserve to be honored. I'm honorable in the kingdom because I give honor. Romans 12 and 13 are really about relationships, and Paul's teaching us how to relate to everyone around us in the way God wants us to. So let's back up and look at verse 1 of Romans 13. It says, let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Not the person, the position. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Now, some of you are thinking, Dwayne, have you seen our government lately? I want to ask you, have you studied the Roman Empire lately? Nero was burning Christians at the stake like tiki torches to light his banquets to celebrate and have feasts. We haven't gotten that bad yet. Hallelujah. Verse 2, I'm going to keep going. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Verse 4, for he is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoers. Verse 5, therefore one must be in subjection, not to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. My conscience should be telling me to submit to authority and honor all men. Verse 6, for because of this you also pay taxes. The authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Remember who they were paying taxes to when he said this. Remember how they were pulling those taxes, collecting those taxes, and see he's dealing with their heart. See, really, it's not just about, now listen, some of you are immediately saying, but are you just saying we should never question authority? Absolutely not. Are you saying that authority should just be able to get by with anything? No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about how we deal with our heart and how we view those in authority. Verse 8, then he comes to pay all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed. We've already read this, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything. That's not a get out of debt scripture. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. He's tying honor to love. Owe no man but to love him. For the commandments, he goes on. Now watch this in verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So watch this. The 10 commandments are really about honor. The first four are about honoring God. Have no other idols, no other gods before me. Have no idols. Don't take God's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath. And then we realize if you honor God, you put him first. You don't use his name in vain. You take a day for you and him to worship and fellowship together. You worship him and him alone. You go to his house. He goes through all these things. But then in number 5 through 10, the next 6 is honor your father and mother, honor your spouse, don't commit adultery, because if you commit adultery, you're dishonoring your spouse. Honor others by not killing them, honor others by not stealing from them, honor others by not lying to them, honor others by not coveting their stuff. Listen, if you honor people, you don't take their stuff. If you honor somebody, you don't kill them. This is rocket science, I know. Here's a few more. We can keep going. If you honor people, carry a shredder. Keep no record of wrong, Corinthians says. Come on, are you here? Yeah. Forgiveness is paramount to relationships. It's a choice. If you honor, don't hold a grudge. Go to Matthew 18. Speak to them first. I can't tell you how many times people dishonor relationship by going to somebody else rather than the person. Here's another one we live by in our family. If we're going to honor one another, don't poke the bear. You say, what do you mean? When you just are poking at somebody to get them to blow up and react. Come on, are you here? Turn to your neighbor, touch somebody, say, don't poke the bear. Come on, turn to somebody else, say, don't poke the bear. See, if I honor people, I don't gossip about them. If I honor people, I believe the best. We could go on and on, but basically, here's what I'm saying. is what I'm saying about this person or what I'm doing regarding this person honoring of this person? Is what I'm saying or what I'm doing honoring them? It's amazing to me that there are more commandments about honoring people than honoring God. Most people know they should honor God. It's the people around us that we're struggling with. So let me, in the few minutes I have left, let me give you some honor axioms. Let me give you some truths, some principles about kingdom honor and how it works. Are you ready? All right, here we go. First of all, when I come into a room, I honor the person who brings order to the situation. Now, earlier, our brother gave a word, and the word was, I am a God of order. 1 Corinthians tells us that. God is a God of order. If you don't believe that, look at the solar system. Look at the stars in the sky. Look at the systems of our natural body. God is a God of order. So if I want to know where to begin honor begins with those who bring order to my life. Now, you say, but Dwayne, in 1 Peter said, honor all men. Yes, but we need to give attention to honoring those who have been given the task of bringing order into our lives, and that's the beginning point. Think about our society right now. Who's being dishonored? Fathers, policemen, teachers, politicians, government officials, anyone who brings order to our life. Can we not see that's the ploy of the devil? Maybe it's not a godly way to live, to bring dishonor. So when I walk into a room, I should be asking myself, who brings order to this room? And that's where I begin the place of honor. Well, what if they're younger than me? Doesn't matter. So this afternoon, some of us are going to go to eat lunch. When we go to eat lunch, there's probably going to be a hostess. She's probably going to be 16. She's probably going to be chewing gum. And she's probably not really interested in her job. But she has been assigned the task to bring order to the restaurant. Probably there's going to be a wait. And probably I'm going to walk up and she's going to tell me a time I don't want to wait. Then what if she skips over and somebody else I think goes before me? I have an opportunity to show honor. Doesn't matter if she's half my age. Doesn't matter if she doesn't have the education I have. Doesn't matter. She's bringing order to the restaurant, so I should show her honor. Come on, are you here? I'm trying to pick the most foolish thing possible because you're all intelligent people, so you can take it to things that really matter. When I walk into a room, who is bringing order to the room? That doesn't mean we don't honor everyone in the room. Doesn't mean I don't honor everyone in the restaurant. It just means that I should not dishonor her and her position because I don't like the fact that she told me to wait. If she tells me to wait, honor her, honor God, and wait. Now, if she passes everybody by and forgets me, I can respectfully go again. We can challenge things, but it's the way we do it, and it's the condition of our heart that matters. Now, some of you are saying, remember you said honor all people. Yes, I should honor everybody in the restaurant. But if I can't honor that girl that's the hostess seating everyone, if I can't honor the waitress who's waiting on me, then I'm probably not going to honor the person that I walk by to go get to my seat or the people that I cut in front of to get there because I deserve it better than they do. See, if I can't honor people in charge, I'm probably not going to honor those who are not. I travel all over the world. I've been to 53 countries. I've literally been in churches and many, many, many different kind of cultures. But here's what I've learned. A church who doesn't know how to honor their pastor will rarely, if ever, honor the person on the street. And I can't tell you how many times people have said, well, you know, we just treat everybody the same around here. Well, no, you don't. And they say, well, we just believe we ought to honor the person out there on the street corner just as much as we honor the pastor. True, you should. The thing is, they don't do it. Because they don't honor them, they pity them. And so rather than actually empowering the person on the street, they're dishonoring them by pitying them. And really, that's not helpful to the person on the street or the pastor. So I just, when I come into a situation, I want to give honor to, I want to start, that's why every time I start preaching, I always give honor to the pastor. I've had people come up and say, I just don't like the way you always say good things about the pastor before you preach. So I'm supposed to stand up and go, hey, he's really a doofus. You want to know, you've got the worst preacher and the pastor in the world, and if I were you, he sucks. If I were you, I would leave. It's terrible at his job. That's not honoring to God, and it's not going to bless anybody. But beyond that, I understand that that pastor brings order not only to that house, but to my life, because I'm a man under authority. See, I've been told not to go outside of this light right here. I've been told several times. Everything in me, while I'm preaching, I'm thinking, go outside the light. Go outside the light. I'm legally blind in one eye, so these lights are really blinding me. I mean, I'm preaching to a vacuum. I might as well be preaching to the internets. I should be on Facebook Live right now because it's the same. At least on Facebook Live, I can see my face. I see nothing. That's why I really need you to hear you this morning. Help me out because, but here's the thing. I'm under authority and they're bringing order to the internets by keeping me in the light. Because the camera guys need some order to how this thing goes. So if I jump off here and do my own thing, I'm dishonoring them. Yeah. Is everybody doing okay this morning? Yeah. You may not know this, but your pastors are really like pastors to Chris and I. Anytime we're in a crisis, the first people we think to call are Pastor Jack and Trish. And they always pray for us. If we're going through a problem with our kid or anything, we'll call them and we know they're going to pray. I always want to honor that. We got here and we were just sharing some struggles that we're having and the next morning, at 6 in the morning, Jack's up praying. And he said, I was praying about that situation. I almost started crying. I thought, who does that? But this couple's always been that way. So we were together, and my wife and I, this isn't on my notes. I just want to share this. My wife and I, many times we've been with them. I prophesied about them years ago, about them getting a new house. And when they did, we gave them some money to buy some furniture. Just because we wanted to bless them, we wanted to honor them. Because they're like pastors to us. We just recently, we were together in Arkansas. And we were with a group of pastors. And Chris just came to me and said, you know, Pastor Jack and Pastor Trish, they're always in our corner. I just want to honor them. Can we just write them a check? The word honor actually means weight, substance. When we talk about glory, give God the glory, do his name, it could be give God the money, do his name. When it says that those who labor among you worthy of double honor, that word honor there could be pay. Why? Because if we honor something, here's the next leadership, honor axiom I want to give you. What you honor, you can access. Because honor unlocks access. It's not about the money. It's just about the just saying, I want to give honor to something. And when you do that, it opens up access to what's inside that person. The Roman centurion servant was paralyzed in Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus stops on his way to go and help Peter. And the miracles released, but could it be that the miracle was released not just because of who Jesus was, but because the Roman centurion perceived him to be a man of authority? Because what you perceive something to be is how you receive it, and how you receive it will determine how you access it. So if you perceive someone to be a man of authority like he did, then he received him as a man of authority. He accessed the authority that was in him. Because here's the next axiom: what you honor, you attract, and what you dishonor, you repel. See, what I honor in my life, if I honor God, if something goes up, glory comes down. When praise goes up, power gets released. So what I honor in my life, I attract. Jesus wasn't headed in the direction of the centurion's need. He was going a whole different direction, but the honor that the centurion ascribed to him, the value that he placed on Jesus, attracted the gift that was in him, and he was willing to change his direction. He didn't even have to. He just spoke the word, and he was healed. But it was all about honor. Here's another axiom I'll give you quickly. Familiarity kills honor. Celebration gives it life. Remember the parable of the treasure? It was buried in a field. The man sold everything to go buy the treasure, but he didn't actually buy the treasure. He bought the dirt. Do you realize to get to the treasure that's in somebody, you can't trip up over the dirt? Remember, honor is ascribing value to somebody, not trip who they are, not tripping over who they're not. So many times, we're not willing to move the dirt to find the treasure. We get tripped up over the humanity of people rather than realizing there's a treasure in them. Now, that's any human, but watch this. Those closest to Jesus even got familiar with his humanity, and his humanity was not flawed. What chance do I have? You say, what are you talking about? Quickly, let's look at Mark chapter 6, verse 1. He went away from there, and he came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. He was bringing order to their lives. He's teaching them, so he's bringing order. On the Sabbath, he began to teach them. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Verse 3, watch what happens. Something shifts right here. Is this not the carpenter? Uh-oh, they found his dirt. The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. When they should have been honoring the fact that he was bringing order to their lives, instead they got offended because he was correcting their lives. They went from being astounded to offended because they tripped up over his natural humanity. See, God will send things. My friend Bishop Tony Miller says it this way: God will send things we need in packages we do not like. God will use things that offend our mind to reveal our hearts. Verse 4, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, amongst his relatives, and in his own household. Verse 5 and 6, and he could do no mighty work there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. Do you notice it didn't say he wouldn't do any mighty miracles? It said he couldn't. Jesus, of course, then it goes on and says, except he healed a few sick folk. We call that revival. He calls it doing nothing. That has nothing to do with my message. It still just blows my mind. It doesn't say he wouldn't. Said he couldn't. Why? I believe the few sick folk were the ones who didn't get offended. They got healed, I mean. The few sick folk that got healed were the few in the crowd that didn't get offended. That's Joe's boy. I changed his diapers. He poops like everybody else. Who does he think he is? Because here, watch this, and I'm almost done. Here's my next axiom. The supernatural power of God is released in an atmosphere of honor. And it's locked up in an atmosphere of dishonor. Come on. Are you still here? Why is it we can go to Africa and see blind eyes pop open? And in America, we get excited if a cold gets healed. Could it be we dishonor so much that he can't do any miracles? You say, what are you talking about? Well, see, when we honor God's presence and we honor God's promise, we release his power. And we honor his people, we release his power. Let me say that again. When we honor God's presence and we honor God's promise and we honor God's people, he releases his power. See, there's a lot of people who don't honor the presence of God, and so his power is not demonstrated. There's a lot of people who don't honor the promise of God, this thing we call the Word of God. But when we honor the Word and the Spirit, but also then some people get that right, but they still choke over God's people. But when we honor his presence and we honor his promise and we honor his people, there's a supernatural release of power that takes place. People go to a bonking meeting, they're not disrespecting the man in Africa. You say, well, they're idolized. I don't want to idolize them. Listen, you know what? Most people don't need you to not make them an idol. Life will tell them how bad they are anyway. And if not, there's somebody that doesn't understand this principle. Trust me, they will lower them. I'm not talking about idolatry, but I am talking about honor. And there is an opportunity to honor. And that's why Bonnke, I believe, sees so many miracles. Finally, honor doesn't begin with your lips. It begins in your heart. But if it's in your heart, it'll move to your lips and ultimately out your hands. Honor flows from the heart. Out of your mouth, and then out your hands, your words, and your deeds. Can Tom or somebody come tickle those fake ivories? Give everybody hope that I'm finishing. I'd try, but it's outside of the thing, so I'm not allowed. They don't mind if you get outside of the thing. It's just me, Tom. It's just me. Praise the Lord. I hope this has helped you. So who do I honor? Let me say it this way. And I promise I'm done. This will help you remember it. Honor up, honor down, honor all around. It begins by honoring those above me. I don't know why I'm crying. And then honoring those coming behind me. And then honor those all around me. There's always a reward for honor. Matthew 10, 41 and 42, we won't turn there, but it says if you honor a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. That's honoring up. He says if you honor a righteous man, a brother or a peer, you get a righteous man's reward. That's honoring all around you. And he says if you honor a child, a little one, by giving them a cup of water, surely I will be rewarded. That's honoring down or those coming behind you. God, who has no one above him, he has no peer or equal, but he chose to honor us and lay down his life for us all. And the value he ascribed to show his honor for you was he spread out his arms and he died. So even if I don't think you're worth honoring, I can honor the King, the true King, by honoring you. I believe if we would create a culture of honor, supernatural power would begin to be released. I believe if we would create a culture of honor, there would be a glory, which is another word for honor, released in this house like we've never known before. So before I go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask a question. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. And I want to ask you, if you've never understood the honor that God placed on you by dying on the cross for you, I want to give you an opportunity to receive that honor from Him and do Him the honor of letting Him into your life and your heart. The value He placed on you was more than money, silver, or gold. It was the blood of His dear, precious, and only begotten Son. So today, this morning, if you would like to be born again, if you would like to receive the gift of honor in a relationship with His Son, I want you to pray this out loud with me, and I'm going to ask everybody to pray it out loud with me. And if you mean this for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time and you're coming back, I'll give you a chance to respond in a moment, but I want to ask everybody to just pray out loud after me this morning. Say, Father God, I believe that You loved me so much that You sent Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. You paid the ultimate price for my salvation. But You didn't stay dead. You raised Jesus from the dead, and He's alive. Lord Jesus, come live in me. Forgive me. Wash me. Heal me. Free me. And I will be free. I give You my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now I just want to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer either for the first time or as a recommitment to God, would you just lift your hand? Let me see it all over this building. Just lift it and hold it up for just a moment. Thank you. Anyone else? An usher is going to give you something. They're going to put something in your hand they want to bless you with. Anybody else in the back? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm waiting just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just give a huge hand clap to those who just made that commitment? Hallelujah! Yeah. We honor you today. Just before I go, I want to pray one more prayer. I'm going to hand it back to Pastor Jack in just a moment. But if you're here today and you say, Dwayne, I'm up for some Hooper honor, and I want you to pray for me that God will help me to honor all men. Maybe you've realized I've been dishonoring. Maybe you realize there's an area where I can up my honor game. Maybe there's just some things God's been speaking to you about. Or maybe you say, I haven't had a lot of trouble with it, but I know I can get better. If that's you, would you just stand up right now, lift your hands in the air, and let me pray over you, because I believe there's something supernatural going to be released in this house for those who are up for it. Father, You see these people standing. You see these hands that are raised. You see these hearts that are outstretched. that are trusting and believing you to help them to be honorable by giving honor. And Lord, show us where we can honor with our words and honor with our lips and honor with our deeds, but let it begin in our heart right now. God, show us where maybe we've been dishonorable in our interactions with others, and let honor flow. And as it does, let it unlock the gift in those around us. I break familiarity in Jesus' name. I said, I break familiarity in Jesus' name, and I release the supernatural power of God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.